victorious. Amen. And God had really been putting on my heart for the last few weeks to do a teaching on our thoughts and our words. And then last Sunday, Pastor kind of confirmed that. And I went last week, Friday, and picked up Stan, my nephew, from college. And he got in the car, and he had some note cards. And so when he got out to go in somewhere, me being a caring aunt decided I needed to read what he had. Just in case, you know. And I picked up the note card, and it was from his speech and speech class. And there was notes he had taken on there. And what he had, what the first notes that were on there was the it read that average Americans are exposed to at least 5,000 messages a day by the way of billboards, TV commercials, text messages, or just walking through anywhere and things are coming at us. The brain understands 600 words per minute, and people speak 150 words a minute. I think some people speak more. Punch the person next to you. No, you better not. Amen. So when you look at that, you are thinking, wow, there's a lot of information going through our mind constantly. And there's two things that are certain. We are thinking and we are speaking. Amen. It's happening all the time, and we're not even aware of it. Amen. So all of these things are coming at us through our eyes and in our ears, and we hear. And you know, there are some people that have no filter when it comes to their thought. They think it and they speak it. Amen. But we as Christians have the Holy Spirit. And the more that we get into the Word, we begin to filter what we're saying. And we're going to get into some of that after a while. Because Proverbs 23:7 says, "For as he, as a man or woman, as a person thinks in his heart, so is he." So whatever you continually harbor in your thoughts is going to come out in your speech. And if you want to know how you are believing and what you are believing, take the time one day and listen to yourself talk. Listen to what you say. Listen to what you are saying. Because your words are like fruit. Amen? They're like seeds. Your words are like a seed. And they are going to produce a fruit. Amen? The Bible says in Proverbs that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So are you speaking death or are you speaking life? You know, God wants us to revisit the well of what we are thinking and what we are saying. Amen? So God had life on his mind, his thoughts, when he spoke and he created us. He had life. He had a good plan. Amen? Because if he didn't, we wouldn't be here. And you're a good plan from the thought of God that he spoke into existence eons of time ago. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we as his creation should be mindful of what we're thinking and how our spoken words from those thoughts are framing our personal lives, our world every day. Your words, when they get out there into the atmosphere, they're going to produce some kind of fruit. Amen? So God has called us and destined us to walk in dominion power. But as Joyce Meyer said, you know, a long time ago, we will never get to that place of walking in what God has destined and ordained and called us to do, that dominion power, if we don't get our thinking straightened out, our stinking thinking straightened out. Because all of it's going to come from that place. Amen? So dominion is simply power, authority, or control over something. It's the ability to request, command, or expect a fulfillment or an appeal. It's to be in charge. It's not going around abusing authority. Amen? At your own discretion. But it's effective, and it works when you are submitted to God and when you are submitted to the Holy Spirit. Amen. So dominion is about knowing who you are in Christ and understanding that in him and through him is the power to lay hold of the promises of God, which is your covenant as his child. What you read in here is yours. What you read in here, you can have. Amen. What you read in here, you can do. Glory to God. Woo! Amen. All the promises of God are yes and amen. Glory to God. Amen. So be what God said you can be, regardless of what it looks like. In Genesis 1, we're just going to start out and kind of work our way through some things here. And it reads in the beginning that God created the heavens and the earth. Created meaning to fashion or to produce or form. And then in verse 2, we read that the earth was without form, void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the earth. So this is my opinion. You can take it for what it's worth. I believe God began to look and he began to think, we need to put life into some of this darkness. We need to bring order to some of this chaos. Amen. And so what happened was, in verse 3, we have the first utterance of a spoken word. Then God said, glory to God. Then God said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. Amen. So in Genesis chapter 1, God said at least 10 times, and when he spoke from that thought and he said, it happened. Amen. So he began to bring order and life to this earth that was without form and darkness. Whatever in your life is out in chaos, that doesn't have form to it, that doesn't make sense to it, you need to be saying, let there be light. Let there be light to this chaos. Amen. Glory to God. Then in verse 27, God created man. God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created male and female. He created them. Then in 2:7 it says, and the Lord God, chapter 2, verse 7, Genesis, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And it said, and man became a living being. God looked at that dust and he began to say, we need to make something out of that dirt. Amen. So all of us are in the same boat. We all come from dirt. Amen. And well, that's why you shouldn't think more highly than you ought to think.
There you go.
Amen. So he said, I'm thinking I need somebody. I need someone to carry on in my image and my likeness. And the thought became a spoken word. And you're here today because of that word that happened a long time ago. Goodness. Hallelujah. And his thought became a spoken word, and man became a living being, created in the image and likeness of God. So you're here today because of that. God had a thought and a plan for humans to continue to be reproduced, and because of that, it's been happening ever since then. Hallelujah. So I just want to tell you today that you're not here by mistake. Amen. I don't care how your mom and daddy got together, where they got together. You're here because God said you're supposed to be here. I don't care if you're white as a sheet or dark as brown sugar or a mixture of all. You are here because God said you were supposed to be here. You're not a mistake whether you were adopted or whether you left at the firehouse station. Somebody needs to hear that this morning. Glory to God. You are here, breathing, living creature of an almighty God with purpose. Amen. And God is thinking good thoughts towards you today. Amen. He said in Jeremiah that he knows the thoughts that he's thinking toward you. You need to take on those thoughts and begin to prophesy, and begin to speak what God has said about you, not what your past has or what anybody else says, but what God's word says. Amen. He says, I know the thoughts I think towards you. And these are the thoughts that God is thinking towards you. They're thoughts of peace, of nothing missing and nothing broken. And he said, not of evil. I don't think evil thoughts towards you. When God looks at you, he smiles. Amen. He said, that's my girl, that's my boy. Glory to God. Amen. Nothing missing, nothing broken, to give you a future and a hope. So God had life, glory to God, on his mind when he created us humans. He had life and not death. He's already won the victory over death. I'm believing I'm going to stay here as long as I can, and my life is not going to be cut short. But if I go today, I'm a winner.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So the Trinity Council, God, the Holy Ghost, and the Son got together to determine that man was to have God's image and God's likeness and give them dominion power to be fruitful, multiply, and subdue. Made in their image. Image means the qualities as reason, personality, and intellect, and the capacity to relate, to hear, to see, and to speak. You're made in the image of God with all these characteristics on the inside of you. That's why our thoughts and our speaking is so important. And our characteristics of God, which he chose to reproduce and to put in us humans. And like I said before, everything revolves around in our life with our thinking and with our speaking. Amen. So you are a spiritual being, and you have this body, and you live in this soul. Amen. So you've been given dominion power, but for the most part, we are walking far beneath what we have been destined, purposed, and God wants us to walk in. We are seated, as Pastor said a few Sundays ago, in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. You can't get much higher than that. You are above and not beneath. You are the head and not the tail. Glory to God. Amen. You are seated far above, and that's how you must see yourself and begin to speak that. Amen. That you are above and not beneath. You know, when you got to the place where you realized that you needed a Savior, that you were a sinner, and most of us grew up in traditional churches where you better get saved, you're going to die and go to hell. Amen. That was how I was raised. There's a heaven and hell, and it was preached where you felt heaven and you felt hell. Amen. But when you, however you got saved, whether it was at church, in that traditional church, or in a car, or wherever, and you knew that the conviction of the Holy Spirit came upon you, and you knew that you needed to change, you knew that you needed a Savior, and you came to Jesus, and you accepted him, that joy that you felt at that moment, that excitement that you felt, some people express it more than others, but you knew there was an emotion there. You knew something had happened. Amen? So there was a sense of something happening, a change. What happened is your spirit man became reborn again, and you got connected back. You got connected back to the source that created you.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So your spirit man became born again, and you became one with the God that created you. Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 that you've been reconciled to God through Christ Jesus. You at that point became in right standing with God. Now I'm going to tell you where our stinking thinking starts to happen, okay? That there is nothing that you've done or can do to earn your right standing with God. Amen? Your spiritual genes now have creative power in it to produce, to be, to have, and to say whatever this book has to say. Amen? It's all there. It's all there. Just as you were born in the natural, the ability within you to walk, to talk, to see, to eat, to feel, to express is there. And as you go and you grow, you begin to learn all these things. And it's the same way with when you get born again. The ability is there, amen, to be all that God says you could be in his word. Glory to God. So 2 Peter says that God has already given us all things pertaining to life, all things of his God-like virtue, that why? That we might be partakers of his divine grace or his divine nature. So your spirit man became born again, not your mind. You're going to wake up the next morning, you're still going to have your gray hair, and you're going to have to dye it. Amen? You're going to still live in this body that needs some kind of shaping up. Amen. You're going to go back to a job with the same people that you worked with the day before. You're going to have to go back to a family that's not saved. Amen. Your mind did not get renewed and your body did not change. Now I'm going to tell you what happens. In a few days, because your mind has not been renewed yet, you're going to slip up and say something, or might even do something, or might even say something, especially those of us that have been called out of great darkness, that you did in your old man. And the moment you do, guess what's going to happen? There's going to be a thought come into your head, and it's not going to be a God thought, but says, if you were really saved, and it's the same lie that the devil used against Adam and Eve in the garden, he has not changed his tactics, folks. If God hath said, if you were really saved, if you really got saved, then you wouldn't be doing that anymore. I believe in instant deliverance, but I also believe there's a walking out of our salvation. Not that we're working to be born again. That was taken care of at the cross. But patterns of habits and things like that, patterns of way of thinking, there is a process. He's still working on me. Amen. There is a walking out of some patterns and habits and things like that to be changed. Amen. Lord, I done got away from my notes. And there will always be somebody to spit on your fire after you get saved. Amen. There's always going to be somebody there. Amen. So we begin to frame our world, our existence, our atmosphere with those thoughts that we're not really saved, maybe. Well, maybe I didn't get saved because now I'm supposed to be perfect. After all, I got my name on the church book. You know, it's the big church, so it's all right. Then we begin to try and work our way back to God at that point. Because we feel like that we've not been saved, so now we've got to get into works to try to earn our way or earn our salvation back to God. Or try to win His approval back. And convince ourselves that, yeah, I did get saved because I want to show you how much I can go to church and how much I can study and how much I can pray and how much I can confess. And that's exactly how you feel. Amen? So we begin to try to work our way back to God. And we begin to try to earn His approval by the things we do. And study the Bible and praying and fasting. And all those things are good. But Jesus has already done it. We need to quit doing so much and just be. Amen. We are called to be demonstrators of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And just be who He's already said you are. So mindsets and patterns and all those things is a process that must be broken. Your mind has to be renewed to think like your new man is thinking. And it's already there. That's why it's important to get into the Word. And you begin to see things and something begins to happen inside of you. That's your spirit man coming alive and saying, yeah, that's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way it's supposed to be. And Romans 12 in the Message Bible is such a good reading of that. It says, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you now. I want you to take your everyday, ordinary, going about life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing that you can do for Him. I embrace God, what you've already done for me. It doesn't mean that I'm perfect yet, or I've arrived to maturity is a better word, in everything. But I will embrace that which you've already done. Amen? And it says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. You are not supposed to be comfortable in this world. If you are, you need to think about what you're thinking. You are not supposed to be comfortable here. We're just passing through. Amen. Doing a few things while we're here. Glory to God. So don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. But instead, fix your attention on God And you'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. But God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity. So don't be conformed to this world. Fashioned after it, adapted to its external superficial customs, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. Changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourself what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you. I remember many years ago that God had given a word, and the word was, do not allow your mind to become the playground of the devil. And you know what happens, how that happens? Because you begin to entertain thoughts. And those thoughts become strongholds and mindsets and then a pattern. And he'll come in, he'll set up swing sets, and he'll set up slides, and he'll just have himself a good old time. And here you are going crazy. I've decided if everybody else wants to get on the merry-go-round, you go for it. I ain't going to get on there with you. Amen. And that's what some of you need to do to your family. They're driving you, woo. Don't get on the merry-go-round with them. You embrace what God has done for you. Amen. It doesn't mean you shouldn't be a witness and you shouldn't be concerned about them. Amen. But do not allow your mind to become the playground of the devil. Romans 8:6 says that we're to set our mind on the flesh. You, by the Spirit, have to tell your flesh to obey itself. It says casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against God. But it says, but set your mind on the Spirit, which is life and peace. So we're instructed in 1 Corinthians to take everything captive. Amen. Every thought captive. So how do you do that? When that thought comes in, the more you get into the Word and that thought comes there, don't utter it. Just say, I do not entertain that thought. I take authority over that. That's not what the Word says. Amen. For the rest, brethren, this is what you're to think of according to Philippians. For the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence, honorable, and seemly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind, winsome, and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on way and take account of these things. Fix your mind on them. The Message Bible reads it this way. Summing it all up, friends, I'd say you'll do your best by filling your minds and meditating on things true, noble, reputable, authentic, compelling, gracious. The best, not the worst. The beautiful, not the ugly. Things to praise, not things to curse. But put into practice what you learned from me, what you've heard and saw and realized, do that, and God, who makes everything work together, will work you into process of time, okay? Work you into His most excellent harmonies. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. I just want to read a note out of my Bible. From Genesis 1. In creating man, the sovereign of the universe makes a choice to delegate to man dominion on the earth. Man's power and authority for exercising this rule originate in God's intent to make man in His own image and likeness. Man's ability to sustain his role as delegated ruler of earth will rest in his continued obedience to God's rule as King of all. His power to reign in life will extend only as far as his faithfulness to obey God's law. We cut ourselves short by the way we think, because you live the way you think. Human worth. Man is distinct from the rest of creation. The divine triune council, God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, determined that man was to have God's image and likeness. Man is a spiritual being who is not only body, but also soul and spirit. He is a moral being whose intelligence, perception, and self-determination far exceed that of any other earthly being. These properties or traits possessed by mankind and his prominence in the order of creation imply the intrinsic worth not only of the family of mankind, but also of each human individual. Capacity and ability constitute accountability and responsibility. We should never be pleased to dwell on a level of existence lower than that on which God has made it possible for us to dwell. We should strive to be the best we can be and to reach the highest levels we can reach. To do this is to be unfaithful stewards of the life entrusted to us. We don't earn anything by our works. But if we don't have a desire to be better and better, we're selling short what God made it possible for us to be. And we're saying, God, I don't care if you provided it. I don't want it. I'm not gonna put forth the effort to achieve it. And the only effort it takes is what? Change your thinking. Change your thinking. Think the way God thinks. If you think the way God thinks, you can do the things that God does. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, you know what I think? You know what I know that God's thinking? God is thinking, my son died for you. He shed his blood, and his body was beaten beyond recognition for you. The blood of Jesus Christ was shed to cover your sins. And by his stripes, we were healed. Not going to be, but were. Appropriating it, it's up to us. But one of the things that Jesus told his disciples, on the night before he was crucified, he said to them, fellas, I really look forward to eating this meal with you, this Passover meal. They weren't just having dinner together. They were observing the Jewish Passover, which to that point was the reminder to the Jewish people that God had delivered them from their captivity. And Jesus said, take this cup, and he said, drink of it, for this cup is my blood that was shed for you. And he said of the bread, take this bread in need of it. This is my body that was broken for you. And I know I put it in reverse order. So you don't have to tell me that afterwards. But what I'm saying is this. What we're getting ready to do now is to remind us of what Jesus has already done. What's already been accomplished. What he was talking about when he said, "It is finished." And so now we come and prepare for communion. And just do it the regular way we always do it. And you come up.